Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, having so much fun, really having a great time these last 3 days. You feel a special closeness with everybody during Pledge Drive. I mean, one thing, we're all working together as a team here in the building, and people are just great about from all the different offices about taking their time to support us and sharing stories of things that people said, you know, when they called in. And it's just very, very nice, but also just a sense of kind of solidarity, global solidarity. I just was looking at the gifts people are giving, a gift from Christchurch, which I believe Christchurch, isn't that New Zealand? Christchurch, New Zealand?
Yep.
That's nice to see. So I now that's a challenge to everybody in Australia. I'd say you need to step up if they're giving money from New Zealand. The good feeling all comes from this. 3 days every quarter. And for just 6 hours and for just part of each hour, we come to ask you for your support, and you make it possible for us to stay on the air doing what we do, but also do the other things that we do. We're doing some innovative podcasting. We're creating various different kinds of content, including streaming video. It seems like there's a new way of streaming video all the time. You get somebody who call up on a device you never even heard of sometimes, and you're making all of that possible. It's given Catholic Answers that's always, for many, many years, at least as long as I've been listening, a national reach, really an international global reach. It's not unusual at all for us to get a call from Nigeria on the same day we get a call from Brazil, or on that same day a call from Guam, or, it's a great big Catholic family. We love each other, and we're very grateful for your support, but we need your support to keep doing it. We have a huge match this hour, $20,000. A donor has given us $20,000, said, if you can raise it, I'll match it. I'll tell you what, if we do that, we are well on our way, because right now we're 50, what is that, 55, about $53,000 away from being fully funded. So let's meet that match. 888-291-8000, the number, catholicanswersradio.com if you're listening around the world. Thanks to the person in Christchurch who just stepped up. Catholicanswersradio.com will work all around the globe. 888-291-8000 if you'd like to call in. It's a $20,000 match. Let's get it started off really well this hour. Will you help us? 888-291-8000.
And, you know, Cy, we haven't talked a whole lot. We've talked some about the principles behind giving and why God wants us to give to support his work. We haven't talked too much about the specific scripture texts where this comes up, because it comes up actually rather a lot in the Bible. And in particular, one of the places it comes up is Galatians. Now, Galatians is a letter that is famous for Paul writing it, and he was actually hopping mad when he wrote it because some of his converts were straying towards a false gospel, and so he wrote to correct them about that. But as he does in all of his letters, he then brings it home to living the Christian life morally, what we need to do to really be Christians and to show that in our lives. And in the last chapter of Galatians, in Galatians 6, he brings up the subject of giving. Starting with verse 6, he says that one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. So if you've received benefit from hearing God's word, and that's what we do here on Catholic Answers, is we try to benefit people by sharing God's word with them, then you need to share the material things, the good things that God has given you, with the instructor in order to support that ministry and help it go forward. And continuing on, St. Paul says, do not be deceived. So we can deceive ourselves here. We can think about this, oh, well, maybe I really don't need to. It's not that important. He says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please his flesh, so that would be just spending all your money on your own pleasures, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, that would be using your resources to support the work of the Spirit and the preaching of God's word, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So think about that. You get an eternal reward if you implement this principle of supporting the preaching of the word of God by using the good material resources that God has given you to help that mission go forward so it can keep saving other souls. You yourself will be saving other souls through that means, and you'll receive an eternal reward from God. And so Paul concludes by saying, let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will harvest if we do not give up. So you want to have your reward at harvest time, and the way to do that is by helping support the ministry of God's word today. Please give us a call. The number is 888-291-8000. We have 8 lines open for you. 8 Catholic Answers employees who are just standing by, actually 9 now, a line just opened up, who are at their desks waiting to take your call. 888-291-8000. And thank you so much.
Well, you are dialing that number, 888-291-8000. I want to remind folks it's an open forum. We're going to take questions throughout the hour, as we always do. As a matter of fact, I'm just about to do that. But I was a little neglectful last hour, and I don't want to be neglectful this hour, of giving the number to folks who have a question. So that's the number I'm going to give right now. This is not a donor line. Don't call and try to give money to Marie. She'll probably take it. But don't call and try to give money to Marie. This is the line to call to ask Jimmy a question. That's 888-318-7884. The question line, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to ask a question of Jimmy Akin this hour, you are welcome, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're Christian or not. You don't even have to be sure that you're human or not. Just give a call, 888-31-TRUTH. So let's go take one of those calls right now. Judy in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You're starting us off this hour, Judy. Your question for Jimmy Akin.
Hi. Thank you, Judy, for taking my call. I am wanting to know how Catholics believe about Revelations and if there is a message in there about a one world order.
Okay. Well, there are different views on the book of Revelation in the Catholic Church. There is not a single mandated church teaching. There are a range of views that are permitted. And so it's an open question as far as church doctrine is concerned. Now, I can tell you what I would say just as an individual interpreter. I've done a lot of study of the book of Revelation, and I've been very careful in how I do that. I've made sure I try to understand the document in its historical perspective. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. I mean, I love Revelation. But I can tell you what my personal take would be, since it's an open question doctrinally. I think that the evidence points to the book of Revelation being primarily about the events of the first century or the first few centuries. This is a view that's called preterism. And I base that on a number of different things, but one of them is both at the beginning and the end of Revelation, it says that this vision was shown to John so that he could tell God's servants what will happen soon. And so that tells us that if we can read the book of Revelation as being mostly about what will happen soon from the perspective of John and his audience, then we should. And personally, I think a lot of Revelation looks like it's a fulfillment, or it's talking about the same events that Jesus prophesied in, say, Mark 13 about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which happened in AD 70. And thus, most of the book of Revelation does pertain to the first century or the first few centuries after Christ. Now, part of it clearly is in our future, but not that much. I would look at the back half of chapter 20 and chapter 21 and 22 as dealing with our future. But most of the earlier stuff seems to apply at least primarily to the first century. And in that material, we find the beast, who is apparently a world ruler and has the number 666 and demands worship and is associated with the seven mountains that are also seven kings.
We'll get right back to Jimmy.
Emperors.
Go ahead. We just had a little bit of audio problem where you stopped with seven kings.
It's associated with the seven kings and the seven mountains, which are like the seven hills of Rome. And so when you put all that together, it really sounds like this is the line of first century Roman emperors who indeed demanded divine worship and persecuted Christians and were world rulers. And it specifically sounds like the Emperor Nero in a particular way, because if you take Nero Caesar and add it up in Hebrew and Aramaic, it's 666. So it seems like this is the primary fulfillment. Now, in the first century, they did have a kind of world government, but it wasn't the entire globe. It was just the Roman Empire, the known world. And even then, and so you'd have statements about how Caesar rules the world and things like that. But even then, there were other countries where Caesar did not rule, like Parthia or India or places in sub-Saharan Africa or places north of Germany. This was a figure of speech. And so when we have discussions about how the beast is going to deceive the world and things like that, they weren't thinking in a modern global sense. They were thinking, the New Testament authors and their audiences, in terms of the Roman world. Now, as I said, I think most of the book of Revelation applies at least primarily to the first century, but that doesn't mean it won't have an echo or a subsequent fulfillment later on. And so I would expect that before the end of the world, there will be a big villain, or a big bad, as they would say on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, some major opponent of God's plans who's known as the Antichrist. And I would suspect that the Antichrist will reign over a significant chunk of the earth, maybe the Roman Empire, maybe a reconstituted Roman Empire, maybe something else, maybe the whole world. But I couldn't prove that from Scripture. Because when you read about the world in Scripture, what it means is the Mediterranean world. That's all that the biblical authors really knew about, was the Mediterranean world. So they're not thinking of a planet. They're just thinking about the countries around the Mediterranean Sea. And that's what they mean when they talk about the world. So it's possible, but not at all proved, that there would be a one world government in the future.
Judy, I'm going to say thanks and leave it right there. Lots of folks on the line. And also, we got to do a little bit of fundraising. We're just coming to you between the questions and answers to remind you that this is our last hour of fundraising for the next 3 months. We are about $45,000 away from reaching our full goal. So 45 minutes to make $45,000. We're very grateful for those who have offered their support. I want to remind folks about how the matching money works right now. now, and also about the gifts that we're able to offer for those who can make recurring pledge of $20 or $45. First of all, we have $20,000 that was given to us for this final hour. A very generous donor said they want this $20,000 match. So basically, if we go out and earn $25,000 by asking you for your support, we get an additional $20,000. Every dollar you give up to that $20,000 is matched, therefore, dollar for dollar. So if you can make a $20 a month pledge, I'm just going to start there. If you can make a $20 a month pledge, then it's $40 a month to us. So what would have been $240 over the course of the year is $480 for us. So it's a multiplier effect. Also, because we have these good friends over at the Augustine Institute who have made the Augustine Bible available to us, a physically beautiful Bible, which really honors the Word of God, we can give that to you if you can make that $20 a month pledge. So as you can guess, I'm coming to you right now asking, can you make a $20 a month pledge? It's matched dollar for dollar right now. It's doubled. And we'll be able to send you the Augustine Bible, the English Standard Version Catholic edition of the Bible from the Augustine Institute. The number to call to make your pledge, 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000. If you go online, it's the same deal. It all gets matched and we send you the Bible. You just do that at CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Finally, before we go back to the calls, I'll let you know, if you're one of those folks who can make a $45 per month pledge or more, a $45 or more per month pledge. We can send you the Bible. It all gets matched dollar for dollar. So $45 is going to be $90 a month to us. That's an extraordinary amount of money for your pledge. We'll send you the Bible, but we'll also be able to send you the entire collection of Catholic Answers 20 Answers books. These are little books with 20 answers on a particular topic, say 20 answers on divorce and remarriage, or 20 answers on bioethics, or 20 answers on Protestantism, or 20 answers on all kinds of wonderful things, the Bible, Mary, the sacraments. We'd love to send you the entire set. That's for a $45 per month pledge. You don't have more time. This is our last hour. So if you would pick up the phone and call right now, 888-291-8000, and make your pledge. It's a Catholic Answers staffer you'll be talking to. So say hello and let them know why you're calling. Or if you need to be done quickly, just let them know I got to be done quickly, and they'll do that for you. 888-291-8000. Can you make a $20 per month pledge? Can you make a $45 a month pledge? We've got some wonderful gifts for you, and every dollar of it is matched right now. CatholicAnswersRadio.com or 888-291-8000.
And don't forget, Cy, that additional higher level of, if you can just do $84 a month, that would amount to more than $1,000 a year, just over, and that would entitle you to be a member of the Catholic Answers President's Club, which, among other benefits, means you would get everything that Catholic Answers publishes in the next year, all the books, all the DVDs, all the CDs, all the magazines, all the things. So, you know, you want to get all the things. If you can do an $84 per month donation, that will entitle you to those as well as other benefits when you join the Catholic Answers President's Club.
Back to the phones. Thank you again for your support. We'll go now to Ryan in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. A lot of callers from the app today. Ryan, we're delighted to have you. Your question for Jimmy Akin.
Hi, sorry. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Ryan.
My question today is about the law that's written on our hearts. I'm not sure I fully understand it. So I was in a conversation, and I suppose he was a non-Catholic, I assume, asked me about this law that's written on our hearts. And I was trying to argue that we have it's written on our hearts that we know kind of right from wrong, is kind of what I assume. His counter-argument is, well, what about the Aztecs, who were totally fine with, you know, child sacrifice and murdering, and they were totally convinced, seemingly in conscience, that it was totally okay. So, and there's other societies and groups of people that seem to be convinced of that. So, obviously, the law was written on their hearts, I would assume, but how do I reconcile those two things?
So as St. Paul says in Romans 1, the law of God is written on the hearts of Gentiles, which is why they have consciences. But because of the effects of sin, and Paul also talks about this in Romans 1, because of the effects of sin, people's consciences can become blind. And that can include how they're raised. And so if they're raised in a culture that accepts human sacrifice, like the Aztec culture, their consciences will be malformed. They'll be blinded to that truth because of the way they were raised. So there is an underlying moral nature that all humans have, which Paul speaks of as God's law being written on our hearts, but there are also the effects of sin that have to be taken into account. If you'd like to read an interesting discussion of this, I suggest you check out the book The Abolition of Man by C.S. Lewis. He points out, and in fact, he goes through the texts from different cultures showing how they have common moral principles underlying them. So he'll quote from Christian texts and Jewish texts and Greco-Roman texts and Muslim texts and Hindu texts, and he'll document on the major categories of morality, they all have some teaching here. Now, they don't all agree in the details, but they do agree in fundamental principles. Like he points out, people of different cultures may differ about should a man have one wife or four, but everyone agrees that a man can't just have any woman he wants. So there is a recognition of marriage in all these different cultures. Every culture has an understanding of marriage, even if they have imperfect understandings of it in some cultures because of history and because of the effects of sin. But that's the fundamental principle. We have to balance the law of God and the destructive effects of sin, because both are found in the hearts of men and they interfere with each other.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that call. I'm just going to real quick remind folks, it's the last hour of our pledge drive. Thank you so much to those who are taking up the challenge and dialing 888-291-8000. I want to give you the overall picture before I go back to another call. So the overall picture is this. We have a $20,000 dollar-for-dollar match this hour. That's the biggest match we've had this pledge drive. It's I don't know if we've ever had more than a $20,000 hour match. And we're
certainly one of the biggest.
We're about 7,000, would you say, Nick? About 7,000 away from meeting that. And then as far as meeting our overall goal for the entire pledge drive, we are almost exactly 40,000, maybe just a little more than 40,000 away from doing it. It can be done. We can do it. We could do 40,000 in the next 40 minutes. But let's 40,000 in 40 minutes. All right.
We'd need some bigger gifts to do that, but we've had bigger gifts in the past. Some people have donated $1,000. Some people have donated $5,000. Sometimes people have even donated more than 5,000, like 10,000. So yeah, it is doable if people are listening, if they're attentive to the need to support this work, and if they want to receive the reward that God promises for helping support the preaching of his word so that even more souls can be saved.
We're not going to neglect our regular work. So let us go back to another caller. While I encourage you one more time to call 888-291-8000. If you're willing, just head over to CatholicAnswersRadio.com, because the phones, as you might imagine, in the last half hour or so of a pledge drive, the phones are going to stay pretty busy. And so if you want to leave a phone freed up for someone else, you can just go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. It works. It's optimized for your phone, first of all. So most people are using their phones to do stuff today. So you can do it at CatholicAnswersRadio.com on your phone, and it's very easy to use. And it'll also optimize for your laptop or computer if you're doing it at home with those devices. All right, let's see who's on the line next. Let's go to Elise in Angola, Indiana, listening on Annunciation Radio. Elise, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Elise.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Sure. Your question for Jimmy.
Hi. So I am wondering about the passage in John 11 where Jesus raises Lazarus, and he has a little exchange with Martha where he asks her if she believes that he's able, or that he is the resurrection and the life, I believe. I don't have the Bible open right now, but and she says, yes, I believe that my brother will be raised to life on the last day, or something like that. So my question is, what is the Jewish, or what was the Jewish understanding of the resurrection, and what did Jesus change about that understanding?
Great.
So the main Jewish understanding was that the resurrection was an event, just like Martha said, that would occur on the last day. And consequently, they were not expecting the Messiah to die and rise before the last day. There were occasional incidents in the Old Testament where someone who had died would be resuscitated. You know, the prophet Elijah did that, for example, with the widow's, or with the rich lady's son when he died. But this was a very exceptional thing, and it wasn't the resurrection to glory and eternal life that was expected on the last day. The people who were resuscitated went on to die again. So it wasn't the final glorious resurrection. That was something expected on the last day, and it was expected to happen for everybody at once. So most Jews thought the Messiah would be a political leader, and that he would kick out the Romans or whoever the oppressors of the day were and found a kingdom in Israel. And then he might go on to die, but he would have to wait until the resurrection of the dead at the end of the world to come back to life with everybody else. So Jesus was not planning on being a political deliverer. And so it was a surprise to people when he, number one, didn't lead a rebellion against the Romans, and when, even though he was the Messiah, he got crucified and died, and he then rose from the dead early. St. Paul compares Jesus to the first fruits of a harvest. The first fruits are the first little bit of the harvest that you take and is holy to God in ancient Israel, and you'd consecrate the very first little part of a harvest to God, and then you'd bring in the rest of the harvest. And Paul describes Jesus as the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead. So he's the first person to experience the true resurrection to glorious eternal life, and later that will happen for everybody as a whole. So that's what was new and unexpected in what Jesus did.
I hope that that was helpful to you. Thank you very much for that question. Appreciate it, Elise. I didn't know there was an Angola, Indiana, too. Now I learned something, too. I'm going to repeat it to you again real quick. We're going to head off to a break, and the break is very short. We're going to take a, I don't know if it's a 90-second or 120-second break, but something like that. But a good time to call or go online to make your pledge to Catholic Answers to help us to continue to do this work for the next 3 months. We're trying to be fully funded for the next 3 months. The number is 888-291-8000, or you can do it safe and secure online at CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
Catholic Answers Live would like to take this opportunity to thank our partners in airing our daily program. Please support the stations and networks that carry us each day, ensuring that we have a platform for broadcasting the show. And please bear in mind that while we don't have to pay for airtime on our affiliate stations, neither do they contribute to the operating costs we incur. It's a great relationship, but it requires that we turn to you, our devoted listeners, for your prayers and financial support to cover our ever-growing expenses. Please call 888-291-8000 right now and help to keep Catholic Answers Live strong. That's 888-291-8000. Or you can donate securely online at CatholicAnswersRadio.com. What began as a humble one-hour daily show that was carried by four stations has, with the generosity of many fantastic people like you, blossomed into a two-hour broadcast heard on hundreds of AM and FM stations, the internet, Sirius XM Radio, Facebook, YouTube, and via podcast. We don't make that possible. You do. We simply cannot continue this media mission without your most generous gift today. Call 888-291-8000 or log on to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and donate now. People tell us all the time how much they depend on Catholic Answers Live to help them better learn, live, and share their faith. What they're really saying is they depend on you for that. Will you come through for them right now? It only takes a couple of minutes to make a huge difference at 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Again, 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. No matter how much you give, be assured of our gratitude and know that God will richly bless you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. It's important that you take this important step right now, today, to make sure that Catholic Answers Live is here tomorrow and for years to come. Thank you so much. God bless you.
This is Dr. David Anders. Is God an angry God?
We answer questions like these every day on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Okay, it's go time. We're in the last half hour of our pledge drive. My friend Joan here in the studio. She's been in here the whole time, but I got to acknowledge her, Joan of Arc, the Joan of Arc icon here with us. And to help us in this last half hour, Joan, pray for us. We've got just a half hour left in our pledge drive. We're going to let Jimmy Akins here as our guest. It's open forum, and Jimmy's going to answer lots of questions between now and the end of that half hour. And we're going to leave it in your hands about the level of support you're able to give. But I'm going to tell you where we are right now, because it's pretty good news. We're going to need some help to make our full $200,000 funding. But we're $32,000 away from that. There are folks who can make large pledges. Just a short while ago, a gentleman made a $5,000 gift. That's an extraordinary, I mean, to have that kind of money to give and to be generous enough to give it is an extraordinary thing. That was Dave in Birmingham. We're going to need a couple more of those to make it. But I know that there are people out there who can do that. $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 gift. I mean, in times past, sometimes somebody's come through with a $10,000 gift. Just a little bit of that mixed with the fact that lots of folks are calling to make their support, to make their pledge. We can do this. We've got a $20,000 match on right now. Have we met the match? Okay, so we are right now, we've got a half hour then. We met our match. We've got a half hour to be fully funded. And that's exciting. And I think we can do it. Jimmy Akin, our guest, the number to call, there are almost every line's open right now. And they're all staff members ready to take your call here at Catholic Answers. The number to call, 888-291-8000. Or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. We're going to need the whole family, whether you can make a big pledge or a small one, everybody on board now. And we can finish this strong and be fully funded for the next 3 months.
So 32,000 left and we're there.
888-291-8000 is the number to go to make that pledge. I want to give out the phone number real quick for those who call, have a question for Jimmy, because I know I've been giving out the pledge number the whole hour, and I'll reboot real quick. So do not use this line to call and make your pledge. This is for people who have a question for Jimmy. That's 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you have a question, whether you're Catholic or not, if you have a question about the Bible, you got a question about faith, you got a question about God, and you know when Jimmy's here, we broaden that way out. Pretty much if you got a question about anything, it's open forum. Anybody's welcome to call with any question. 888-318-7884. And I'll be real honest with you, I'm going to say that number one more time, and I don't think I'll say it again this hour. So you might want to jot it down if you got a question. 888-318-7884. Lines starting to fill up, and we're grateful for that. About half the line's full right now. So you can get your call in if you want to call and help us get fully funded here in this last half hour. Be part of the excitement. 888-291-8000 is that number. Jimmy from Perth, Australia, watching on YouTube Live there in Perth, Australia. Justin on the line. G'day, Justin.
Hey, g'day, fellas. How are you?
Very well.
Doing fine.
Hey, Catholic here. Hey, Jimmy. Just a very interesting question that I've been thinking about. The in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, when after the woman is created, and the serpent is questioning or challenging Eve about, are you sure that you cannot eat of all the trees in the garden? And she replies, we can eat of all the trees, but we can't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden or even touch it, as we would surely die. Now, my question is, a couple of points. One was, how do we know for sure that Adam was actually there with her whilst this conversation was happening? Because a number of translations, sort of in the original translations, the Latin Vulgate and the RSV, omit that the line that says, and who was with her at the end. Whereas the newer translations, like the New Revised Standard Version, imply that sort of give the implication that he was actually there, and then she gave the fruit immediately to him. And I question this because if Adam was there with her during that conversation, why didn't he challenge the serpent? Why didn't he then correct Eve to say that, well, we can eat of the tree in the middle of the garden because it's actually the tree of life that's in the middle of the garden as well. So
yep.
There are a few of my questions I'd like to ask.
All right. Okay. So the first thing to be aware of is the church understands this text as incorporating a significant amount of figurative language. If you look in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it has a section on how to read the account of the fall. And it says that that what we read here in Genesis 3, it is a reference to a real event that really did occur at the beginning of the human race when our first parents fell from grace, but that it also is told in a figurative way. So it's a little bit dicey to ask, well, exactly what happened historically, because we're not given a straightforward historical account. What we can do is look at the text as it's presented to us and say, okay, well, ignoring the fact that this isn't meant to be a fully literal historical account, and so we could press the details, if we just treat it as a literary text, what does it suggest about was Adam present or not? Well, some people have proposed that he was, and that he could have and maybe even should have been willing to sacrifice himself in order to save Eve. Some people have even proposed that the serpent is threatening Eve by saying, oh, you're not going to die if you eat the fruit, with the implication being, I'm going to kill you. And Adam then should have stepped up and been a man and defended her, even at the cost of his own life, even though he was immortal. So that interpretation is pretty speculative. It's been proposed by some folks, but it really hasn't been anything that has left much of a footprint in Catholic, the history of Catholic thought. It's if we just look at what happens in the sequence of the story, we have the serpent talking to Eve, and Eve does mention the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as being in the center of the garden. There is the tree of life, but that's simply something that she's not going into with the serpent. I don't know that we need to see a particular significance to that. And she does misrepresent what God initially said about the tree, because God didn't say you couldn't touch it. He just said you couldn't eat it. And so some interpreters have looked at that and said, well, Eve is going beyond what God said. On the other hand, you could say, well, maybe that was implicit, and she's just bringing out something that was implicit in what God said. You could also look at it, if she's going beyond what God said, you could look at it and say, well, maybe that's a sign that Adam was not present at this moment in the conversation, because otherwise he would have corrected her and said, oh, no, we can touch it. That's not the issue. But that's speculative. Then she goes ahead. She sees that the fruit is desirable in various ways. She goes ahead and eats it and gives some to her husband who was with her. And since she gives it, whether it specifically says he was with her at that moment or not, he had to be with her at some point, because it says she gave it to him. So at least after the serpent left, he was present. She gave him the fruit to eat. And then later, when God confronts them about it, her defense is, I was deceived by the serpent. Paul picks up on that and notes in the way Paul reads the text, St. Paul in the New Testament, the way he reads the text is by saying, Eve was deceived. He takes Eve seriously. The serpent deceived her. She's not lying. She was tricked. But he says Adam was not deceived. And that makes what Adam did even worse, because he did it knowingly. And that could be a sign that he wasn't present for the discussion with the serpent, but he just went along for the ride, so to speak, and agreed to do what Eve convinced him to do, even though it was against his better judgment. But we really ultimately can't know the details here because of the degree to which this text uses figurative language. It's meant to tell us the answer to certain questions, like why there's sin and suffering in the world, but it's not meant to tell us the answers to other questions, like exactly who was present for which stage of what conversation.
Justin, thank you. Appreciate the call, especially from our friends in Perth, Australia, where my favorite pizza place is, Amore Mio Pizza, greatest pizza place in the world. Appreciate that, Justin. Lots more calls. We're going to get right back to them. Don't worry. We're going to continue to take calls. But I got to let you know, we're about $25,000 away from being fully funded. I'm saying approximate numbers because I haven't checked in a second, but I know we were approaching that a few minutes ago. So approximately $25,000 to go in 20 minutes. Again, if you are able to make that $20 a month pledge, a bunch of those, and we're over the limit very quickly. And so if you can make a $20 a month pledge, we want to send you the Augustine Bible, the English Standard Version of the Catholic edition of the Bible, suitable for enthroning in your home, suitable for keeping next to your bed, suitable for a gift, suitable because it's so beautiful for honoring the Word of God in your home. We'd love to send it to you for that $20 a month pledge. If you can make a $45 a month pledge right now, you help us get a lot closer to being fully funded for the next 3 months, but you also get the Bible, and we'll send you a full set of the Catholic Answers 20 Answers books edition. We're up to 38 now of those, 38 Catholic Answers 20 Answers books on every kind of subject. As I said yesterday, I really think if you read those and read and comprehend those 38 books, you're going to get better a Catholic education than you'll get at most Catholic universities. You'll have a better...
And the lines are wide open for you right now. We only have one person taking a call. The other 15 Catholic Answers employees who are on the line are ready to take your call. They're sitting at their desks, and they'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 888-291-8000, and now we only need $23,000 in the next 20 minutes.
We'd love to send you those for those that $20 or $45 a month pledge, 888-291-8000. But before I go back to the phones, I would like to make a special appeal to those who can make that larger donation. For some people, I know it's comfortable. It's within their means to be able to give a $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 gift. If you can do that, you're getting us very close now to being fully funded at the end of this hour. About 18 minutes to go and more than $20,000 to go. 888-291-8000. Back to the phones for Jimmy Akin. Let's go to Timothy in Ohio, listening or watching on Facebook Live. Timothy, your question real quick for Jimmy Akin.
Hey, so this is one of the stereotypical objections to the Immaculate Conception. I actually have a lot of respect for Mary. I just honestly don't know how to reconcile this in my brain.
Okay.
Romans 3:23, all have sinned, and you probably know what I'm going to ask after that. So
yeah. Okay. So this is a passage in Romans, and he is discussing the fact that both Jews and Greeks are sinful. Jewish people often had the idea that they were not sinful, at least compared to Gentiles. That's something that Paul refers to, that attitude, when he's talking to St. Peter in Antioch. And he talks about how you and I, being Jews, know this, we're not sinners of the Gentiles. And so there was this idea that Gentiles were much more sinful than Jews, and by comparison, Jews were much holier. And in Romans, Paul is leveling the playing field, so to speak. He's making the point, no, there's sin on both sides, there's goodness on both sides. What matters is your faith in Christ. And in the course of Romans 3, he documents Jewish sinfulness in various ways. And if you look in particular between verses 10 and 18 that lead up to the verse that you mentioned, he gives a series of affirmations of human sinfulness. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God, and so forth. Well, each one of these affirmations of sinfulness is a quotation from the Old Testament. And if you go back and you look up these quotations in their original context, what you find is that they are all from what you could call contrast text. contrast texts. A contrast text in this case is a text that contrasts the behavior of the righteous with the behavior of the wicked. And so in each of these texts, in their original context, you have a discussion of the righteous are like this and the wicked are like this. And what Paul has done is he's taken all those references to the wicked and stitched them together. And if you don't know the original context where these statements are in contrast to what the righteous is like, you could assume that he has a more negative view of human sinfulness than he actually does. Now, it's true, with very few exceptions, all adult human beings are sinners. They all have temptations, they all commit sins, and that's the fundamental truth that St. Paul is affirming. But there are exceptions. A number one example, Cy Kellett, can you name someone who's not a sinner other than Mary?
Well, Jesus.
Jesus, right. The second Adam is not sinful. But if you take Paul's text here in Romans 3 as in an exceptionalist way, none is righteous, no, not one, not even that nice Mr. Jesus from Nazareth. Well, that's not the teaching of the New Testament. The New Testament recognizes there's an exception for Christ, the second Adam. Well, Mary's the second Eve. So if there's an exception because for Christ, because of the fact he's the Son of God and has a special role in God's plan, there can also be an exception for Mary, the second Eve, who's the mother of God's Son and thus also has a special role in God's plan. He could protect her from sin to make her a more fitting mother. And she's not the only exception. If you look later on in Romans chapter 9, Paul's talking about the patriarchs Jacob and Esau. When they were in the womb, there was a time, Paul says, before they had done anything good or bad. So they didn't have personal sin at that point. And so even Jesus and Mary aren't the only exceptions. Babies in the womb are too. They're not they don't have personal sin at that point. And so we have to recognize that in Christian thought and in Paul's thought, there is room for a number of different exceptions, and we shouldn't take this particular language we find here in Romans 3 as if it's exceptionless, because it's not. If you look at those quotations in the original context, they are not exceptionless, and we can also show that Paul himself accepted the idea that there were exceptions like Jesus or Jacob and Esau or Mary.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that call from you, Timothy in Ohio. We are in the last moments of our pledge drive, so I want to give a quick update of where we are. As you know, we only come to you four times a year, only for 6 hours out of the week. And even during those 6 hours, we do what Jimmy just did. We continue to have conversations and answer questions and take calls from all around the world about the Catholic faith. The Catholic faith is worth defending. It's worth promoting. It's worth sharing, because within the Catholic faith is the fullness of the truth conveyed by Jesus, the saving truth, the thing that can transform this world and restore this world that so desperately needs restoration and transformation. And you can support that work right now, as we are on the verge of being fully funded. We're under $20,000 needed to go to be fully funded for the next 3 months. You've been extremely generous with us. If you haven't
just
made
18,000 to go.
18,000. Great, Jimmy. Thank you. 18,000 to go, and about more than half of our lines open right now. So will you help us bite into that $18,000 and be fully funded? 888-291-8000. Once again, I'll ask, and I am not ashamed to ask, those who have the funds, if you can make that $1,000, maybe $2,000, maybe $5,000 gift right now. We promise we put your money to good use. We don't do anything except explain and defend the Catholic faith. And we do so on a pretty tight budget, $200,000 to be funded for the next 3 months. You can see how an apostolate that spans the world for that money is really worth the money. 888-291-8000. Jimmy?
And you don't have to do it all at once. If you're able to make just a monthly pledge, if it's a monthly pledge of $84, it'll add up to $1,000 in a year. That'll entitle you to be a member of the President's Club and get all the things that Catholic Answers publishes in the next year, including all the books, the DVDs, the audio sets, the magazines, all the things will be yours for just a donation of $84 a month. A lot of people can do that. It's not even $100 a month. Maybe you could do $100 a month, and that will add up as well. That'll be of even more help. Whatever amount you can afford, please give us a call. We're in the last remaining minutes of the final hour of our pledge drive for this quarter. The number to call is 888-291-8000. We're getting so close now. We just need $16,000 to hit that $200,000 goal and be fully funded.
888-291-8000. I'll remind you again that the person you talk to is in this building with us. It's one of our colleagues. It might be one of the apologists. It might be one of the administrators here, or it might be one of the people who works in shipping and receiving. It might be one of the folks who works in running the websites. It's all hands on deck here in the last minutes. Call, say hello, let them know who you are. If you want to share your story, they'd love to hear it. It's actually kind of fun for us to hear people's stories. But if you want to just be on the line and off in 90 seconds, just tell them that. They'll take care of you so quickly, and you can make your pledge. Help us to be fully funded in the next few minutes. We can do it. We can get fully funded. 888-291-8000, the number. Or go safe and secure online on CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Let me say that number one more time real slow. 888-291-8000.
And why don't we take another call while we still have the time?
All right, caller, I'm going to ask you to be real quick, if you could, because we're going to need you in order to get your question answered. Let's go to Jim in Akron, Ohio, listening on AM 1060 there in Akron. Jim, if you would do me the favor, real quick, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Okay, thank you for taking my call from one Jimmy to another. Every James does not become a Jimmy. My question is, why do those who adhere so vehemently to Sola Scriptura, why do you think they will not budge? Are they just being stubborn, or is, you know, do you have a better answer than that?
And okay. Oh, wait, we'll get to the follow-up if we can, but Jimmy?
Okay, so I don't generally like to psychologize the beliefs of others. I like to look at the arguments that they put forward for their position. In this case, I wouldn't say it's stubbornness. I would say it's just the fact that humans have, as C.S. Lewis put it, kind of an inertia in belief. Once we believe something, usually because we're taught it by someone else, we accept it, and the longer we believe it and the more we use that belief, the more often we reinforce it to ourselves, the more we tend to maintain that belief. And so people in the Protestant community have been taught by their forebears that they should be doing their doctrine by Scripture alone. It's a principle that is very frequently invoked in Protestant preaching and Protestant writings, so it's very often reinforced. And most Protestants have never questioned it. They've never really sat down and said, what's the basis of this? And does it even meet its own test? To my mind, that's the big problem with Sola Scriptura. It does not meet its own test. You'd have to prove Sola Scriptura by Scripture alone, and you cannot do that. So it's a self-refuting doctrine. But most people have never even thought about it that much. It's just a fundamental principle they've been taught and has really been hammered home in from the pulpit and in writings and on Protestant radio shows, and so it's simply never questioned.
And you did a good job getting that question out quickly. Thank you so much. And it's helpful to us because we need to ask folks for their support one more time before we go. I got to let you know, when we go off the air, people will continue to answer the phones as long as they're ringing. So just keep calling. And if you're listening overnight or in the next few days, because folks continue to listen via the podcast, you can always go safe and secure online to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Now about $14,000 away, if my math is not wrong, to being fully funded. So, and maybe even closer than that, Jimmy. I'm not sure. I haven't updated it in the last few minutes, but
nope, that's correct. It's about 14,000 away, and
that's doable.
We can make that.
Yes, especially if there's some folk. There's been, I see four people just now gave $1,000 each, and I asked if some of those folks could step up who can make those larger pledges. But also, folks coming through with smaller pledges also support. It all adds up. Believe me, that means everything to us. And as long as there's a line open, if you got $5 and you can pledge it, God bless you and thank you for that. So, and if you got $5,000, now's the time. We're into the last 2 minutes of our pledge drive. And we are about $14,000 away. Hey, maybe you've got $14,000. Boy, would you get a cheer in this building if you could dial up and 888-291-8000 and make that pledge. You put us right over the top. Jimmy, it's been an exciting pledge drive. It's exciting to be in these last moments and know we can do it. We'll have to come back tomorrow and let people know whether we did.
It has been an exciting time, and as we say, this is the ideal time to call or go on the website because, you know, we're at the end of the hour, we're going into a break, you're not going to miss anything, so this is the ideal time to call. We have lines open for you. In fact, right now we've got 5 Catholic Answers employees who are just waiting to take your calls, and an unlimited number of people can log in simultaneously to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and make their donations. We are just getting so close to the overall drive goal of $200,000. Right now, we are, as the numbers are totaling up on the screen in front of me, we are $12,000 away.
Wow.
Making progress. Some of the people you mentioned who have been making larger donations have been making it on the installment plan. I've seen several people who've been donating like $84 a month, which amounts to $1,000 a year. Thank you to everyone for your generosity. We'll have people on the phones as long as you keep calling. So please keep calling. This is a great time to do that, and we'll talk to you more tomorrow.
We can make this. I imagine by the time we go off the air in 30 seconds from now, we'll be about $10,000 away. If you'll just pick up the phone and call, maybe you've got that $10,000. Maybe you could do $1,000. Maybe you could do $10. Just get us that much closer. We're almost fully funded. It's very exciting, and I have to tell you, when we get off of the radio here and step out into the hall, there's going to be a lot of gratitude expressed, and I want to express it on the behalf of everyone here who's taking your calls right now. We're deeply, deeply grateful for your support. 888-291-8000 is the number. 888-291-8000 or safe and secure at CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.